escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With the first overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the New York Islanders are proud to select from the Erie Otters, Matthew Schaefer.
1 hour later.
With the second overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the San Jose Sharks are proud to select from the Saginaw Spirit, Michael Misa.
2 hours later.
With the third pick of the 2025 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks select from Djurgården, Anton Frändell.
1 eternity later.
Making the selection for the Sabres are members of the Goo Goo Dolls, a band that got its start in Buffalo. They've been nominated for Grammys 4 times, and tonight, Goo Goo Dolls members Johnny Resnick and Robbie Tkach are on the record with the 9th pick.
All right, with the 9th overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the Buffalo Sabres are proud to select from the Seattle Thunderbirds, Radim Mertka.
Yeah! Yeah!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right.
Happy Monday, everybody. June 30th. Jeremy and Joe.
June 30th.
Yeah, free agency, the frenzy begins tomorrow.
Yeah, big frenzy. Can't wait.
Gonna be a frenzy.
There's gonna be a frenzy here, though.
Oh, we'll get...
I'm choosing to be optimist.
We'll work ourselves into a frenzy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If there isn't a frenzy, we'll be in a frenzy.
Yeah, we'll find a way.
I noticed you got sunglasses on the hat again today.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting that.
I think you should just make that the look.
Yeah?
Yeah. Your sunglasses on the hat guy.
I wear sunglasses less than anybody else you know. I don't think to do it.
He said coming in to work twice in the last 2 shows he's been on with sunglasses on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how unusual it is for me. Like, why would they be on my hat? I'm driving with them on my hat instead of on my face.
Also, the sun really isn't still up yet.
Right. I bring them because I'm like, oh, that's right. I have this new pair of sunglasses. Not like they're like fancy or anything, but yeah. My wife every once in a while will get me sunglasses and I will lose them in 2 weeks. And then 2 months later, oh, I got you a new pair of sunglasses. Great. And then I'll lose them in 2 weeks. And that's pretty much
it. If you're just losing them, shouldn't you? What about that band that goes around the back of the sunglasses?
The Crokies.
The Crokies.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's an option.
Do that.
I just never really think to wear them. And then I'll get a pair and think, oh, yeah, I should remember to bring them places because, you know, you could wear sunglasses.
So you don't need them. Do you have a pair in your car at all times, I assume, though, right?
No.
That's crazy because, man, if you are driving at a certain time and the sun is right in your eyes,
yeah.
I don't know how you're driving.
I know the concept. It's the kind of thing that I never really think to. Never really think to do.
Owen and I had bets on if you were going to take them off your hat before the end of the first segment.
If you know what
happened,
and
Joe gave me the assist there. Yeah. I got the under.
Interesting. We
made it. As soon as I logged on the YouTube feed to check things out, I would have taken them off. But here we go. Now try not to leave them here. Mission number one for the day. Remember to take those home.
I mean, you could just put them back on your hat and you probably won't forget.
Yeah.
Or go on the shirt.
Could clip it on the shirt.
Clip it on the shirt.
Could do that. Yeah. Lots of options. Places you put your sunglasses. My truck has a little holster up there. Every once in a while, I'll think, did I put them up there?
That seems like they should just always be up there.
They're not. But if they're always up there, that means you take them off every time. You're saying, so driving glasses.
Yeah,
When you get out of the car, you're going to put them there. What if you need sunglasses for the place you're going to be? You have a second set? Are there 2 pairs now? We're handing off from one sunglasses
usually,
to the next?
Usually, if I'm going somewhere where I'll be wearing sunglasses and I don't want to take the ones out of the car, I will just take different sunglasses, put them on, and I won't even touch the driving sunglasses. Like, they will just remain. Like, when I 4th of July, when I go to the beach, I will wear sunglasses to drive, and I will not, like, I will leave the driving sunglasses up there. They will not move.
So you're treating these driving sunglasses almost like it's a spare tire. Like, that belongs to the car.
Yeah, that belongs to the car.
That belongs to the car, all
right. Yes. And there are, well, see, there are times, though, where, like, golf, if I, although I usually don't like wearing sunglasses golfing, if I do want them, and that's the only option, then I will do it and just have to remember to put them back.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure, there's a time or two where I click the whole thing. I forgot to put them back up there. And that's annoying.
How many people have just car sunglasses?
I think a lot of people.
Yeah, you might be right.
I think like a designated pair. Yeah.
All right.
Rather than just like a random, because then you might have a lot of times where you don't have one, like you're saying.
Yeah, true. Well, good morning. It's Monday. Paul joins us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the Sabres and what they've done through the draft. I have ESPN's breakdown of their draft. We'll have some fun along the way as well because, you know, we got to schedule fun. But lots to get to on the Sabres and also a funny blast from the past that I was – well, let's put it this way. I heard Kevin Adams say something, and I thought, I've heard that before. And I went back and I found it quite easily from approximately 12 years ago. So, you know, good times, good times. The Sabres traded J.J. Paterka while I was away. I was playing 100 holes on Thursday and then took Friday off also. And Paterka got traded for a couple of players. I was not listening Thursday morning when you guys were talking about Paterka because I was out walking the 100.
Yep.
But I'd heard again and again and again that people were upset. People were really upset by this.
Yeah.
Because Paterka's a good young player, maybe one-dimensional, but whatever. A good player, a guy you draft and develop and you send away. It's the completion of the arc. Get drafted, get good, and go away.
Yeah. Which he might have broke the record, though, for doing fastest. It. Doing it the quickest that fastest. Anybody's ever done it.
Was there? Yeah. Is there any concern on your part that this now shows the off-ramp for anybody that wants to do it? Because Paterka, you know, there was a lot of, why should they do this for him? And yet they did it.
They did it, and he didn't really have to put up much of a fight.
No.
Right? Like
one offseason, agent floating rumors, gone.
The more I when I listened to Kevin Adams' press conference on Friday night, so after the first round, and he's being asked about the Paterka deal, and he's talking about how, dealing with the agent and with Paterka, how, like, they wanted to engage in contract talks, and it just wasn't going to go there, which made it sound like they would never even talk. Like, yeah. We're not talking dollars. We're not talking years. The more Adams talked about it, the more it just felt like to me he just didn't want to fight. He didn't have it in him to have a fight here with. He could have, right? Like, any team could have, like, I'm going to fight for this guy. And the Sabres just decided, yeah, we'll go for the divorce instead.
Yeah, and the idea that you can't get to contract talk is a little bit – it goes back to when the Bills tried for Antonio Brown. Like, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that, right? Your reputation, you have – this is pre-Josh Allen. Like, the pre-Josh Allen Bills, anybody signs here, it would be a bit of a shock. Oh, okay, this must be a second-tier guy. This must be a – when Mario signed, it was, of course, shocking for the entire NFL. Like, why would anybody go there? That's not a place you would ever want to play. And for Paterka, if you offer him, all right, call the agent. Hey, let's get on about a deal. We'd love to lock you up 7 years. Like, nah, I'm good. Your money's no good. My client doesn't want to play for you. Doesn't want to be there. And you might wonder if that's about market size. You might wonder if that's about competitiveness. But I guess the question I would ask is, as you're scouting these players, should you have seen that coming? Should you have known that about him? The personality is he wants to be somewhere that fill in the blank. He's from Munich. I want a big city kind of place. I mean, Munich. I've been in Munich. I don't know how – it's not exactly New York City. Or I don't know what it is compared to Salt Lake, where he did sign.
Salt Lake, where he signed, like
– right away.
Yeah.
So something about there is something he wants and something he likes.
Or it was truly about just it felt poisonous here to him.
Yeah.
Because any – like, I was having a tough time figuring out, okay, why did he really get dealt here? Because it's not about going to a big city. Didn't get traded to New York or Los Angeles. He went to a market. It depends how you do it. If you go by like TV market size, I guess Salt Lake is bigger. But if you go by population, Salt Lake is smaller. Whatever. He went to a comparable city.
Yep.
That actually, like, if you're a young hockey player and maybe you like to go out once in a while and have fun.
Less of that.
There's less of that.
There's not a lot.
There's less of that there. If you care about winning, big winning culture, I'm not saying that Utah isn't a more believable winner right now than the Sabres are. Their owner is making it seem like they're going in. Like, they are going to try to be a great team. They have not done it yet, though. And if you go back to the Arizona days, they have not been that in a long, long, long time. So, sure, but more believable winner. He did not go to Tampa. He did not go to Carolina. He did not go to LA even. So, was it all about the winning? Because he didn't go to the biggest winner.
Nope.
He didn't go to the biggest city. So what was it? Was it the coach? Was it money? I guess Adam's kind of implying that it wasn't about money. So I don't really know, even sitting here right now, why did he actually get traded? What was his big problem with the team?
Maybe Adams. Maybe
it was Adams.
Maybe ownership. Maybe it's Mike Greer leaves because he doesn't think the organization is committed to winning, kind of thing.
That could be right.
Is the Utah organization committed? I don't know.
The sales pitch that owner gives right now is that they very much are. Yep. Right. He is putting millions into that arena, and he is going after big names in the trade market. And they did have 89 points last year, so they missed two, but they were better. So, again, I do think it's more believable. But, yeah, people were upset, and I don't know. It didn't make me feel, and I'm wondering if fans felt the same on Friday, any better, that Adams kind of made it sound like he just wasn't ready. He did not want the fight.
Right.
He didn't want to go to the agent and the player who would have said, yeah, your money's no good here, and say, all right, let's find out. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. Put the gloves on. We're going to go past July 1st because we've got 4 years of rights.
Right.
And instead, the Sabres acted like they didn't have any rights. That, you know, what's the point? What's the point of having all that leverage if you're just going to punt the first time it's 4th and 1?
And, right, leverage. And if they just give a qualifying offer instead and Paterka's playing for peanuts, relatively, it gets to be November, and you say, like, you ready to take $8 million yet? You ready to take $6 million yet? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe he changes his tune. Maybe a year and a half into that, he changes his tune.
I also don't think it helped when we got lots of reports about, like, what they could have had the next day, which sounded like better things.
Let's talk about that. There are then reports that they could have had Jordan Kyrou of the Blues or Marco Rossi of the Wild. And
Noah Dobson was the other one.
Noah Dobson of the Islanders, who did get moved, right?
He did.
He got moved.
And so then he signed for $9.5 million per year.
Which is... he's also something the Sabres could have definitely used. I'd seen him linked. Yep. These are not players I expect, you know, the casual hockey fan. I mean, I would expect only the hardcore hockey fans to know these names, to be honest. And I wonder about the reports there. Hey, the Sabres were also offered this and this and this and this. That might also just be the agent wrapping things up. Like, hey, the league thought a lot of my guy and would have offered these players that you've heard of and players that you've heard of.
I definitely believe that about... like, Cervelli reported, the three he reported were the Kyrou one, the Dobson one, and then there was another one, which was two first-round picks and two roster players.
Right.
Which is very up in the air.
Sure.
Who are the roster players, right?
Who's the team? If it's Tampa, then, you know, those two first-round picks have significantly less value, probably.
Sure. Than a team that was picking, like, you know, 10th or something.
Yeah.
But the other one about Rossi came from Michael Russo,
who is
like that came from the Wild.
That's right.
That report came from probably directly from Bill Guerin, the Wild general manager.
Is he the one that reported the Sabres didn't want it because they didn't want another undersized forward?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yep. 5'9". And then immediately you go look at the Sabres roster and go, they actually don't have like any undersized forwards on their roster.
Outside of Zach Benson.
Zach Benson is like the one guy, and he plays like he's 6'2", doesn't he? Doesn't everybody always, you know, give him lots of props for his compete level and winning battles? So like, okay, the one small guy is the one guy that actually battles?
Yeah.
So, okay, why don't I need another undersized one?
Don't want another 5'9" forward like, you know, Danny Briere is 5'9". You don't want anybody like that. That guy's too small.
Right. So that one did not sit well with me, and I think that made it a little bit worse. But it's kind of the theme of their week, isn't it? That like, oh, no, they're not going for 5'9", guys.
Well, that's
going
the thing.
They're going for big boys.
If you want, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to do this. There's still more offseason to come. And I guess part of frustration with Adams might be, I don't really know how I should be reading him or taking him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's up there trying not to say anything. That's what GMs often do. Oh, we're in on everything. Oh, this and this. And you want to communicate with your fans, but also play poker a little bit. And I just don't know. I don't know where he's coming from in a lot of cases. And one of them is when talking about Byram, you know, in potentially trading him or whatever. Hey, if he, I know one thing certain, like if he signs for 1 year or 2 years or 8 years, he's going to give us his best. And he says something like that, and I think, do you have an idea of what you want to do with Bo Byram?
Because
if you're talking about 8 years as a possible thing, but also trading him as a possible thing.
Yeah.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Who's in charge? What's the plan? Do you like this player enough to sign him for 8 years? Or is that just something you say? Do you like this player enough to sign him for 4 years? Or do you want to trade him for whatever you can get? You see him as an elite defenseman. If that's the case, then
you wouldn't get rid of him.
You probably would not get rid of him. Or your price for Bo Byram would be very high, which is what some of the reports are. The Sabres are kind of surprised how soft the Byram market is. All right. Whatever.
Or is it that they do want him and he's another case of, well, they know he doesn't want to be here and that's why he's on the trade
market? Well, the reporting on him is not as much about
not wanting to be here.
It's about a role. He wants a role.
Right.
And he might not have that role. Now we've got, is Kesselring Owen Power's partner? I mean, the Sabres,
I think so.
The Sabres want to go Power, Kesselring, and then Dahlin and Byram together. Because Byram with Dahlin has been great, but then again, so is everybody because Dahlin is that good. The whole thing, like, you've got free agency, you've got a Byram deal, you've got things that could happen. I went to those couple days off as we were approaching the start of the offseason hoping that the Sabres would do a two-for-one deal. You be the team that makes a trade, getting the best piece back in a trade. And they did not do that. They did not do that probably in... Well, they might have.
No, they did the opposite. They traded one for two people.
They traded one for two.
Yeah.
And then the other trade, Connor Clifton goes out for Connor Timmins. Like, that's a two piece for two piece. And all right, we'll see who gets the best player in that deal. But yeah, I was hoping Byram and or Peterka were going out and one biggest piece comes back. That didn't happen. So now the question becomes, what will the biggest addition they make this offseason be? Will it be Kesselring? Is your big move, your signature move for the offseason, the big piece you got is part of a two guys came in, one guy left? Because that's a pretty sad offseason to me. That's pretty sad. Are they going to approach goalie? A serious team looks for goalie help, looks for veteran goalie help. Maybe they sign Jake Allen. If they were to do that, 3 years, 15 for Jake Allen, it might be a bet on an aging player. But at least it would be, all right, they are committed to, we need some saves. Dang it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know any of it. And I wrote this down and whatever, it sounds harsh, it probably is harsh. As I'm watching their trades and watching their draft and watching what they're doing, I see players moved and players re-signed. That was a part of the Bills offseason, right? The Bills had a relatively pedestrian offseason. The big part was signing their own guys that are good. So you'd point to, well, yeah, sure, here's the draft and here's free agency, but we also locked up four players we like a lot. All right, that's a busy offseason. That's a good job. I mean, the Sabres don't have extensions anybody's really happy about right now. Jack Quinn. Okay.
Jack Quinn.
Of the Quinn Cousins Peterka line, Quinn's the one that stays.
We had talked to Paul a couple of times during the offseason, and, like, you know, whenever he'd come up just kind of in passing, I think Paul would say, like, I would just offer him his qualifying offer. Whatever it was, like $1 million, like $1.1 million or something. Like,
yep.
I don't think he's earned anything more than the minimum he could get. And they gave him, I'm not going to be worried about it. They have $21 million in cap space, but they gave him $3.3 million. Really? For what? That looked good? to them.
Yeah.
$3.3 million. I mean, didn't a lot of people have the same reaction when they saw that contract, which is this? They don't want to make it look like they're so far below the cap. That was a thought I had. And I do wonder that I wonder what their plan is for tomorrow, because or for a bigger trade. Because, man, if you even want to show enough that you even want to make it look like you're spending near the cap, if you even want to try to hide it a little bit, they're going to have to spend something here. They opened up $3 million trading away Connor Clifton. That trade made it look like they're Vegas or they're Toronto. They're a team like up against the cap that's got to clear some space. So let's get this bad contract off our books and let's give the other team a good pick for it. Good pick, relatively. Like that trade is not something they needed salary-wise, yeah. But it feels like that almost had to be a part of the value. So what is that? Are they just – is this their internal budget showing? Or are they gearing up to try to go all in on a couple of players in free agency because now they have as much space as anybody? And suddenly, if you're trading Byram, you don't really have guys to sign. It's just really McLeod that'll take up a big chunk of that $21 million. So I don't know how big their plan is, but they have to spend at least a little bit if they even want to pretend that they are spending near the cap. They're so far away from it right now.
Right. And the projected cap would be Paterka's number, right? That's a number that no longer goes in their projection.
Right.
Whatever that might have been. So they sent out $3 million and they brought in 4.1, I guess are the numbers. I saw Chad Domenes is tweeting about this. So they added a little bit to their cap with these deals. But
with both trades?
With all the trades they made, $3 million out, 4.1.
But that's not counting what Paterka's contract
exactly,
was be, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Once you get to Paterka's added in there, it's actually you saved about $6 million.
Right.
So
because you were going to have to pay him.
Right, right. I don't know. The whole thing to me, I'm just like getting down to one sentence that I wrote about what the Sabres offseason, we've got tough to play against. We're going to hear tough to play against again. Remember last year's offseason, the message?
It was tougher to play against. Same thing?
Yeah. That's why they signed the fourth line. They revamped their fourth line because they needed to be tougher to play against.
Which was Lafferty, Malenstein, and Obey Kubel.
Yep.
Yeah, and only one of those three maybe right now you would even project to be in the opening night lineup.
And would you even care if they are?
No, I don't even – right. It's right. No difference to me.
I mean, it's the last year's offseason was about knowing the coach, accountability, and tougher to play against. And here we are this offseason. It's about tougher to play against. So, okay.
Which is a little odd to me. I wonder what Paul's thoughts on this. We talked to him later. They are preaching tougher to play against. They went after – I mean, even if you want to include the first-round pick, Mertka and Timmins and Kesselring, like these big – defensemen. You look at their defense core right now, it's pretty huge. Like, Dahlin is their second smallest defenseman right now, I think, at like 6'3". None of them are really physical. None of them. Timmins had like less than a hit per game last season. And everything is like, oh, he's an offensive defenseman in kind of his soul. And Kesselring, it was big and can skate, but, you know, he's not necessarily the meanest defenseman. And the first-round pick, Mertka, was kind of described the same way. Like, oh, maybe he could grow into that. So I don't know. Is that still get filed under tougher to play against just because they're big? Because it feels like they have more defensemen now on their blue line. This might even be a bad thing. They just have size, and they might not have as much physicality as they might get credit for. But are you still tougher to play against just because everybody is 6'3 or bigger?
Maybe you are.
I made a point about this on Saturday doing the draft coverage with the two giant defensemen they drafted, and I think it fits with these guys too. The way the game is now, the advantage of big defensemen isn't always necessarily
they're
going to
hit you over the middle of the ice.
It's length and lane coverage with the need to skate less distance. That's where the advantage comes, I think, a lot more in the modern game with big defensemen. It's reach and skating ability, and that's, I think, what they've added in both Timmins and in Kesselring. The ability to get into lanes more effectively and kill plays that way rather than with their big frames, which they are adept at, but like you said, they're not great at it. But their advantage is they're good skaters to get those big frames in spaces that will stop teams from gaining speed in the neutral zone and getting the puck in and getting to the net front. They're better at tying up sticks just because of their length. I think that's right. Where a little more of the size advantage comes in the modern game with defensemen now.
803-0550. Plenty to get to. We could talk about whether or not the Sabres could kind of wow us and, you know, score a fish in free agency. I did listen to Sal had a woman that covers the Utah Hockey Club, the Mammoth, talk about Kesselring and Josh Doan. And it made me feel pretty good about the deal, the kind of players that they are. So that's good. You know, how invested they are, the kind of players, the kind of people. Like, fine, that's great. But I'll say what I have written down and get into it as we go. But believing in a Sabres offseason, it's the kind of thing that you do if you are able to pretend there are no other teams in the league. Other, is that right? Watch another team's offseason. And you'll say, like, all right, Detroit. Detroit has
John Gibson.
They
needed a goalie, and
they're just gonna go do
it. They got probably the biggest goalie that'll get moved.
Right, we need a goalie. Let's go do it. Make it happen. We have all the faith in the world and the guys that are already standing in the room. And a Sabres offseason is often about that hyper specific needs. Right shot defenseman. That's the ticket. You'd have analytics people tell you that Connor McDavid is worth 8 points in the standings, which I always thought was crazy. But that one player in the standings, what are they worth? And the Sabres are out here just like tinkering on the edges. Like, all right, let me change something super small. That'll be the key. I don't know. I feel like it's always small time. There's never the big move, but there's offseason left, and whether that's Byram or signing somebody, who knows. But if you're able to pretend there are no other teams also trying to get good, you know, you have some moves. 803-0550. You can give us a ring if you want. 1-888-550-2550. Stat of the day on those defensemen, by the way. The big defenseman. This kind of gets to Owen's point about the draft. We'll get you that when you get back. And a grade. ESPN went so far as to grade
NHL draft grades.
Yes.
Who is putting their name on that? That's crazy.
What do you think the Sabres got? A little write up there about what the Sabres got. So it's all coming up. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.